Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So what's brought up big boy moves that the Padres have been making as they get ready for the postseason, very quietly. There's no announcements made that this is what the Padres are doing, but if you watch closely, you can see. And if you wanted to make a change in the bullpen, at the back end of the bullpen, you'd do it now. You wouldn't wait until, you know, okay, it's October. Yeah, I think we better make a change now. If you're going to do any changes, now is the time to do it. With a couple of weeks left, so everyone's comfortable in whatever role they're performing going into October. Knowing anything can happen in the playoffs, and you need to be ready at any moment. You can use your closer in the sixth inning in the playoffs if the game and the season is on the line.
It's just so funny to me because I know when we as fans talk about bullpen management and the closer situation, I do feel that we, myself included, can often be a bit knee-jerk at times. There are times when your closer doesn't have it and he's going to blow saves. Hoffy did it. No offense, Hoffy. Mariano Rivera did it in the biggest game of his life. I mean, it happens. That being said, we often treat closers with such kid gloves too. Well, you can't throw him here. That's not a save situation.
It's a tie game.
It's a tie. You can't throw your closer here. It's going to mess his head up. But now, with 2 weeks left of the season, we're saying, let's throw him in the sixth. It's fine. I mean, listen, there's clearly more that goes into it that we don't know. I've never managed a bullpen at that level. I have no earthly idea on what would happen today if Schilt called in Robert Sawyer and said, Bob, we love you. You need a bit of a break. We're going to go with Tanner in the ninth. Or we're going to go with Jason Adam in the ninth, who's given up, I think, one run since he's been a San Diego Padre. I feel pretty comfortable with that guy out there. So, but I don't know that he's got your elite-type closer stuff, but boy, does he get the job done. It's nice having a guy like Estrada that can step in when Suarez is down. It's nice having, you know, Morejon, I guess, who picked up another save, but I don't put him really in that category yet. It's nice to have Jason Adam, who you can count on for outs, and it's really nice to have Tanner Scott, who is an elite closer that, let's be honest with each other, probably not coming back next year, and has also said to you, give me the effing ball anytime you effing want, and I will take it. So while it's hard to say, for me at least, if we're gonna play that game, Benny, I just don't know that it's such an easy switch to be like, hey, it's best for the team. You're throwing the fifth now or the sixth, right? What's that going to do to him?
Do you want to hear what Mike Schilt had to say yesterday?
I'd love
after
to.
The game?
I'd love to.
He was asked about Robert Suarez.
With Robert and the velocity still there, clearly the last month hasn't been what the first few were. What do you see happening there?
Human. I mean, he basically was subhuman. You know, the first however many parts of the season. He's just
super
balls
good.
Coming out good. I mean, you know, guys are taking him, blocking balls. I mean, I give him credit to him. Put a good swing and put a bat together. But, you know, they're just catching enough balls to take some opposite field shots. And, And again, it's a hard thing to do, and they've been able to do it. But, you know, he's throwing 99, 100, 101. You know, his stuff's really good, you know, so it's part of the game over the course of the season. You're going to give up a few balls to get barreled, and it's going to be shown up when you pitch the ninth inning. So, you know, a couple of times he shows up, he gets magnified, but I will take him tomorrow in a one-run game, I can tell you that.
Right, so no,
is there a timer running in the background?
No worries, essentially, from Mike Schilt, at least publicly, about Robert Suarez, and he makes a good point. I mean,
somebody's actually on a Morse code.
Y'all got 30 seconds. Get your questions in. Tick, 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 tick.
What Elliot Ramos did, Mike Schilt said, is not easy to do. In fact, no one has ever done it in 25 years in that ballpark.
Correct.
What Elliot Ramos did in the ninth inning off Robert Suarez. And I don't think Robert Suarez is the worst pitcher who's ever thrown at Oracle Park in 25 years. So there probably was a big element of just luck and hope on that swing, and it just happened to be the perfect timing to get a home run to right field there. At the same time, you can't just look at the one result or just the good results. There have been bad results, and it's not been the same for Robert Suarez the second half of the season. And I can see it both ways. I can see, hey, we're still winning games. It's working. Why would I make any change to the back end of my rotation when we're still winning games? We just swept the San Francisco Giants. But kind of the more logical side of Ben's brain goes, you have an elite left-handed and two right-handed options. Wouldn't the best thing to be is just go by matchups? Hey, if they've got a couple lefties coming in, save Tanner Scott for the ninth inning. If it looks like it's righties and you got a stretch there, then maybe it's Robert Suarez. But, you know, managers are hesitant to go closer by committee, especially at this time of year going into the playoffs, even if it might be strategically the best thing to do.
Yeah, getting guys out, you know, instead of taking one guy out of his comfort zone, Robert Suarez, the closer, now you're saying, hey, let's get four guys into a different zone. I can understand the reluctance to do that. I really can. And I will say, you know, look, here's the thing about yesterday's game. Robert Suarez was rested. He was rested. He gave up a home run on a pitch outer half. Again, guy dropped barrel on it. He's a big, strong kid, and he poked it out. It's going to happen. So, again, somebody made the point in the chat. Look, we have a closer. He's got one pitch, essentially. Essentially, he does mix in a changeup. It's pretty rare. Mixes in that, what is it? It was a slider, but it's very rare. And they don't look like strikes, so they're not super effective. So if you sit fastball and he can catch up to it, yeah, you can barrel him up. But it hasn't happened a ton this season. So I think, you know, for me, I don't know. I mean, gun to my head, I'm probably not messing with it. I'm probably not, because again, I think you can win games with Tanner Scott in the seventh and eighth innings. I think you can win games with Jason Adam in the seventh and eighth inning. I really do. A lot of the time the games are won there, and I feel pretty good about those guys and those roles. Would I absolutely hate if Robert Suarez gave up a walk-off home run in the playoffs? Sure. But he's not going to be the first closer to do that. And I've seen Tanner Scott be wild as hell late in games as well. I mean, again, is he your best option to close games right now? I think he is. I still think he's my best option to close games. He was rested yesterday. The velo was fine. But again, I made a joke to Eno Saris. What if? In the playoffs, he starts throwing his changeup more. I mean, he's dastardly and deadly. If he can get it located then, it's completely different. It's a completely different pitcher. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, why wouldn't you? So, I don't know, man. I if we can all live with our closer getting barreled up from time to time with his one pitch that he's throwing right now, I think you live with it.
The argument that you don't make a change when things are going well, though, doesn't really hold water for Mike Schilt. I'll tell you why. First, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. The phone lines are open right now. If you want to battle Woods in our musical trivia game, call now, 833-288-0973. We'll play here in about 2 minutes, 833-288-0973. Chance to qualify for the trip to the Wynn Encore Las Vegas. Show tickets as well, 833-288-0973. If you are afraid to make any changes because, quote-unquote, what we're doing right now is working, you wouldn't have moved Jackson Merrill up in the batting
order. Yeah, but I also think, you know, and Than makes a good point in here. Do you want to tell your confident your closer with 2 weeks left in the season, I don't really have any confidence in you? I mean, I really don't. And you know, what if he does it in the sixth, the seventh? You end up losing the game there. You can lose the game in the seventh inning as well. So if you tell Robert Suarez, you've lost the job. You know, based on a bad month this year, you've lost
your
job.
But any change you make, including moving Jackson Merrill up, is telling someone else,
yeah,
we're moving you down.
Correct.
In this case, it was Jake Cronenworth who got moved down in the order.
Took an offer for the weekend.
And probably
the right move.
The right move, considering the production you've been getting from Jackson Merrill.
Which, by the way, Jackson
belongs higher in the order.
Jackson's production in the five as opposed to seven looks pretty much the same.
But the argument that the Padres and Mike Schilt had kind of made, because people have been asking the question, why aren't you moving Jackson Merrill up in the order? He's been pitting all season long. Why are you still having him in the seventh spot? And the same answer had been, hey, it's working right now. We're not going to put too much on his plate. He's a rookie. Why did they do it this weekend? It's abundantly clear. That's where they want him hitting in the playoffs.
That's where they want
because
him.
Because that's the best order for the Padres. And they're not going to go into the playoffs and all of a sudden go, why are we putting out an order that's not the best order we can put out?
I mean, if
moving Jackson Merrill up is smart, so they're doing it now to get ready for the playoffs.
If we're being honest with ourselves and each other, that's not even the best lineup that they could put out. It's not. If we're really being honest with what we have, your best lineup is Arraez, Tatis, Merrill, Machado. That's it. And then some semblance of a Bogarts, Cronenworth, Peralta, whatever, Solano. That's really what it is. Do they want to take this 21-year-old rookie who has been phenomenal and say, yeah, you're three-hole now in the playoffs? They might. So I trust them to make the right decision. I do. Why? Because they've won 85 games right now. They're 20 games above 500. I have some trust in them and what they're doing. But yeah, that, if you're being honest, that's not the best lineup that they could run out. Honestly, if you just look at the numbers, you could probably look at. And you want to talk about trends? You know, Jerkson Profar. Let's talk who's trending in the right direction. Playing a little bit better as of late, but there was a 2-week stretch there. It was the only thing he was doing to get on base was walking. So why didn't you make the move then? But you're getting down to crunch time, and Tony Gwynn Jr., I asked him to his face, why not move him up? Because he is Jackson. The reason he's able to be Jackson Merrill that we know and love is because he's hitting in the 7-hole. Well, now he's done it in the 5. If he does it against the Astros, you going to move him up to 3 against the White Sox? Maybe. But they are making the moves that they need to win, which is why I kind of trust that they'll make the right decision.
There's some other moves they've been making. We will get to those a little bit later in the hour with playoffs in mind. Right now, though, let's get to today's game. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go to line 2 today. Let's see. Caller, who's this?
Scott,
you ready to play Take on Woods?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, if you can beat Woods or tie him in our 5 questions of musical trivia, you'll qualify for our grand prize drawing. 2-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas and 2 tickets to see Awakening. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. Your advantage is getting to pick the category. Here are your choices. An iffy category, 5 song titles that begin with the word if. Below the Waist, 5 songs that include a lower half body part in the title. And our new category, Think About It, 5 songs with think in the title. So, an iffy category, Below the Waist or Think About It. Scott?
Let's do Think.
Think About It. All right. All right. Put on your thinking caps today. We've got 5 song titles that all include the word think. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the 5. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our 2-second song. Paulie is queuing it up now. He'll play a little bit of music. You need to give me that song title, including the word think, and the artist. 2 parts there to score that point, and then we'll go on with the rest of them. Scott, are you ready to play? All right, 60 seconds on the clock in the category Think About It. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Scott. Let's take on Woods.
You Might Think by The Cars.
Correct. Tiffany spent 2 weeks atop the charts in 1987 with a cover of which...
I Think We're Alone Now.
Correct. Rod Stewart sang If You Want My Body, in which 1978 hit from his Blondes Have More Fun album.
If You Think I'm Sexy.
Correct. British pop duo Go West recorded which song that became a hit in the 1990 soundtrack to the movie Pretty Woman.
Pass.
Kenny Chesney sings about a girl and a piece of farm equipment in which 1999 song that remains one of his most popular hits?
Pass.
British pop duo Go West recorded which song that became a hit in 1990 on the soundtrack to the movie Pretty Woman?
King of Wishful Thinking.
It is. Kenny Chesney sings about a girl and a piece of farm equipment in which 1999 song that remains one of his most popular hits?
Thinking about?
No, but you got four, which is a really good very score, well I think, here, and a very good chance to qualify. So stay on the line, Scott. The one you didn't get, Kenny Chesney. She thinks my tractor's sexy. But you got, you might think by the cars. I think we're alone now. Do you think I'm sexy? And King of Wishful Thinking. Let's bring Woods in. That's a high bar to clear. Woods doesn't know the category, doesn't know the score to beat. Scott's score is locked in. Okay. 60 seconds back on the clock. Round two of Take on Woods. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Scott.
Magic by the Cars.
That is incorrect. Tiffany spent 2 weeks atop the charts in 1987 with a cover of which song by Tommy James?
I think we're alone now.
Correct. Rod Stewart sang If You Want My Body, in which 1978 hit from his Blondes Have More Fun album?
Save that. Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Correct. British pop duo Go West recorded which song that became a hit on the 1990 soundtrack to Pretty Woman?
Pass.
Kenny Chesney sings about a girl and a piece of farm equipment in which 1999 song that remains one of his most popular hits?
Go back to the other one.
British pop duo Go West recorded which song that became a hit in 1990 on the soundtrack to the movie Pretty Woman?
It's going to make me nuts. Mm. Would the category have helped me?
Yeah, I think so. You kind of could get it still. There's one word that's key to the song.
You got
to
do it right
you
now.
Got right, but
sexy tint.
Nope. 4-2. Scott, congratulations. You have won.
You got one by two.
You
got to move me to the
victory.
Fifth inning, man.
In the category... God. Think about it. Right, that was not Magic by the Cars. Mm. That was You Might Think by the Cars. You got I Think We're Alone Now. Do You Think I'm Sexy? Go West, their hit is called The King of Wishful Thinking.
It's one of the worst songs of all time.
And Kenny Chesney and a girl in a tractor. She thinks my tractor's sexy. Country's always tough for you. I put that at the end as one of the tougher
ones. No. Bro country is always tough for me. Ask me some real, do a real country category.
I know. But Scott, congratulations.
He thinks my tractor, how does it even go? I got to hear
how that is. My tractor's sexy. God. It really turns me on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Paulie knows it. Paulie's all about Kenny Chesney.
No, I'm not. Don't
apparently
say that.
You
don't,
are.
Don't put that out there.
And of course,
washed.
I love that song, King of Wishful Thinking, that you think is one of the worst songs of all time.
It is just, it is
it's
so
in that
bad.
We Built This City category that I love.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently a lot of other people do as well, because remember, all these songs that you say are the worst songs of all time, were all giant hits, because there's a lot of us out here who like that kind of music. And you know, elitist music snobs.
Elitist. Because I don't like the King of Wishful Thinking. I get over you. I know I will. Oh, my God.
Pretend my ship's not sinking.
That is really, really something. All right.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Something about Colorado football is going to be mentioned in Don't Do This, one way or another. Because I've got a story, you've got a story. We'll sort out all the details when we come back after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. And this first story has Woods in the torture chamber on a Monday morning. And really, anyone who had the first pick in their fantasy football draft across America. So we're talking millions. There are millions of fantasy football leagues out there.
Millions, yeah.
And in over 90% of them, Christian McCaffrey was the first overall selection.
Yeah,
probably more than that, 96%, 97%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he was the offensive player of the year last year, was the odds-on guy to get the most points in fantasy football again this year. There was some preseason injury concerns, but nothing that the 49ers really made a big deal about, and most people expected him to start week one. Well, you know, week one came and passed. Of course, he didn't play. Woods, you didn't know that until the last minute, as did most people on a Monday night. You ended up with a zero for Christian McCaffrey week one. So you follow up week two. You get to Wednesday. Christian McCaffrey, very hopeful. He's going to play on Sunday. So you're not making major moves. You know, he's getting stalwart of your lineup. And then,
great word, stalwart.
And then he comes on Thursday, and the 49ers go, no, actually, he's not playing. And guess what? He's going on injured reserve. And that means he's out for at least the next 4 weeks. So, essentially, almost a third of the season will have passed. And there's no guarantee he comes back for week six either. So, essentially, a third of the season will have passed before Christian McCaffrey takes his first snap.
Well, ouch. Even more ironic is that we're in the Padres PR league, and they had Mudd and Don do a nice thing for us, and they drew the draft order, and they called out who had the first pick. And when Mudd pulled my name and Don pulled my number, one, hey, Woodsy with number one, Mudd goes, he's going to mess it up. He'll mess it up.
Probably draft Vinny Testaverde.
And I thought to myself, well, I mean, I'm 1-1. I take Christian McCaffrey. How do you mess that up? It's not like I'm going to draft, you know, somebody horrible with it. So I messed it up. Mudd was right. I was wrong, and I'm in the torture chamber. Hardcore.
Yeah, but you're in good company across America.
That's true. It doesn't make me feel
better.
I was
much more nervous having the second pick because it was such a no-brainer for you.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, oh, there's like three guys that could be the second best.
Right.
But it was unanimous almost.
Yeah.
Like everyone, 1-1.
Who'd you take?
You take McCaffrey. I took CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee's nuts.
No. Woods?
Colorado, Buffaloes remain a bit of a lightning rod, as you guys know.
A bit.
Pretty interesting team to follow. And they laid the wood to Colorado State the other night, Benny, certainly. But this is the one that's making all of the headlines. And it was Shedeur Sanders last week who left the game early against Nebraska and threw his whole line under the bus. Said, oh, how many times did Raiola get hit? Right? I mean, just he doesn't handle himself in the best manner of as a sportsman, if you will. And this is, you know, this came back to bite him a bit after the game last week. Goes up to the after the game, so they, like I said, they laid him out. They beat Colorado State handily. He had a good game, Shedeur did. Braden Fowler Nicolosi is the quarterback. And after last year's game and throughout the summer, he gave Shedeur and the Buffaloes some bulletin board material, Benny, and said, look, all that hype, it's not going to mean anything when the game starts and blah, 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 blah. And I'll be honest, was running his mouth pretty good. And so after the game ends, Braden Nicolosi comes up, extends his hand to Shedeur Sanders, and Sanders gave him the psych. Nope, not shaking your hand. Of course, everybody catches it on tape. Now, I legitimately can go both ways on this.
Mm.
I really can. I can go both ways. Now, after I beat an opponent, I it kind of is a power move to be like, yeah, nice game, bud, and shake his hand. Also kind of a power move to be like, you don't start any, there won't be any, man. Like, I didn't say anything to you. You said it about me. I just put it to you. And I'm not shaking your hand. And it was, I mean, but again, in the practice of good sportsmanship, yes, you always shake hands after the game. I don't think I've ever played a game that I didn't go shake somebody's hand after, even if it was chippy and nasty and whatever. I think I've always done it.
I know what you're saying. You know, Colorado's enough controversy and things to be talked about. You don't need to be adding to it,
yeah, and
necessarily.
And rivalry games can be like that sometimes. You know what I mean? They can. They can be like that. Can be a little chippy and a little nasty. So I don't know, man. It was. I can see both sides of it, to be honest with you.
Finally, I love when you turn a don't do this into a do-do this.
D-D mega do-do.
And I feel like Dan Campbell, the coach of the Detroit Lions, is among the best at that. Turning setbacks into opportunities for growth.
My
this
God,
time,
dude.
Though, it was his own growth that was on display. Detroit Lions against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they messed up badly.
They did.
Messed up badly. End of the first half. You got 3rd and 2 at the Tampa Bay 9-yard line. You know, got field goal in hand. Less than 10 seconds, but they need to clock it and get the field goal team out there. And the coaching staff, whoever's in charge, and Dan Campbell says ultimately it was me, started sending the field goal out too soon, and they got flagged for a too many men on the field penalty. 10-second runoff, half over. Mm. No points. They end up losing by 4.
The 10-second
in
runoff
that game.
Murders
the runoff,
you.
Yeah, the runoff murdered him. But I loved how Dan Campbell owned it. Did we find the audio after that? Yeah, there's Dan Campbell.
You know, I asked for improvement from last week was the story. And we did improve. We did improve. And their coach cost them. Their head coach cost them this one. So, critical error in the half. And 100% on me. We improved. There's areas we got to continue to improve on, but it's not okay. You know, I
he is not afraid to own it.
Love that dude, man.
I really do. It's always so rare. And yeah, it was a mistake. Absolutely a mistake. They were disorganized a little bit on the sideline. That is on the coaching staff. It is on Dan Campbell.
I made a mistake, man.
But
I do. I adore him. And you'd want to play for a guy like that. And says, you know, I asked for improvement. They improved. I'm the one that needs to improve. And accountability is very, 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 it's much in short supply in the United States of America these days. It's nice to see somebody be accountable for their actions. Every time somebody is like, it's on me. I blew it.
The reporter's asking.
We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
We thought he was certifiably insane when he did that. We thought we're like, man, this guy's gonna last 3 weeks, bro. He is not made for this. I hope that guy wins a Super Bowl more than anything in the world.
Oh yeah.
I hope he writes a book. I will read it. I am all in.
Reporters asked him, well, like, what happened? And he goes, it's not gonna make sense to anybody. He just said there's no way to justify it. It's just a massive error on my part. No one else's. It was just between the hurry-up field goal and clocking it, and it was 100% my fault. So essentially, it was like, do we just run the kicking team out on the field as the clock is ticking and try to snap it before zero?
Or do we clock it
and then... And then send the team on, and they got their signals crossed on the sidelines. And
great dude, man.
That was cost him some points and maybe the game.
I want to see that guy on the shoulders of his players one day being carried off the field somewhere because you just root for guys like that all the time.
And that is don't.
Oh,
and,
quickly.
Yeah.
I hope you guys listened to me on Friday. You weren't here when we did on Thursday when we did our football threesome. I said, you're going to give Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers, you're going to give them 7.5 points. Take that. And that was my bet of the week. I hope you listened to your old pal Woods and cashed in, because I know I did.
Five-star upset special.
Five-star upset special.
From Woodsy, and that's Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we haven't talked about Friday or Saturday's games much. Padres, 2 shutout wins over the Giants and some interesting moves. We talked a little bit about Jackson Merrill moving up in the order, but what about the other things the Padres are doing to potentially get ready for the postseason? We will talk about all of that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Nice bounce-back performance by Joe Musgrove on Saturday, and then Dylan Cease was sharp on Friday when Woods was at the game. Talk about the first two games of the series coming up here.
Made it a little easier to walk up to him on Alcatraz.
I would think so.
After the game that he had on Friday night, I felt very comfortable saying, Dylan, you must be in a great mood. After 10 Ks, just dominating the Giants, a little easier to ask for a pick.
Padres getting the job done the entire series, but especially those first two games. We will get into what happened a little bit more over the weekend in San Francisco right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/Switch. Well, obviously, it was just a one game on Friday and one game on Saturday, but seeing Dylan Cease kind of get locked in with the performance he did as we get closer to the postseason, and then Joe Musgrove to do the same on Saturday, very encouraging signs for the Padres' starting rotation. Again, they were facing a Giants team that has had trouble scoring all year long. I think that was 3 straight shutout losses for the Giants going back to their previous series. So
they've scored 3 runs in 4 games.
4 games.
Good God.
The 3 they scored yesterday.
Caught them at the right time.
You did catch them at the right time. But Friday was just the old get out in front early and then throw your ace on the mound and, you know, give the team that you're playing really little hope to come back in that game.
A truly, truly beautiful, beautiful game to be at. And you know, the other thing, too, that I noticed is that when I go to Petco Park, I've got to be a little bit more reserved and buttoned up. Not an Oracle. No. I can stand. I can yell. I can scream. And I thought to myself, I missed this. I missed this a lot. Screaming, jumping out of my seat when Tatis hit the bomb. It just felt really good to be able
to pronounce Tatis Jr.
to cut loose at another ballpark, Benny, and watch them, jump out to a lead and then watch Dylan Cease. Yeah, I mean, had his moments, certainly, of where he looked again. A little bit frustrated with the zone, I think. Now, from my seat, I'm telling you, did you see much of the game on Friday
night?
Not
a ton. I saw a little bit as I was at dinner.
I'm watching Diaz just hold the mitt, just pop. It doesn't move. Ball. I'm like, what? Then I see Diaz go up for a ball. They call it a strike. So I think that I haven't seen the scorecard or anything. But from my vantage point, it looked like, all right, we got one of these back there tonight. But, man, he locked in, settled in, you know, double-digit Ks, limited any damage that may have occurred, and just a really brilliant performance for him. It had to be huge for his confidence.
I did see what Fernando said after the game, which I liked, and they said, you know, said Logan Webb's a pitcher who has given us some trouble in the past, so they adjusted their approach, got a little more aggressive, and it paid off early with the 2-run home run in the first inning. Jackson Merrill had a big game with 3 hits, another 3 hits for Luis Urias. That's pretty much an everyday occurrence now for Luis Urias. RBI doubles for Bogarts and Machado. It's nice to see the Padres put up 5 against a playoff-type pitcher Logan Webb. Even though they're not going to the playoffs, he certainly is kind of guy you might face in the postseason. Finished 2nd in the Cy Young voting last year.
Yeah, he's their ace, for sure. And you, the play he made, or I guess I should say didn't make, where he airmailed Lamont Wade Jr. Padres score a couple runs off that. at that point, it was over. I mean, you just knew there's no way these guys are going to be able to. I mean, right back at him, and he just whoop right over the first baseman's head. Throw it hard. Always throw it hard. Little kids, if you're listening and you're playing, just throw the ball like you normally would.
Or underhand, it seems to
or
work.
Or run, and underhand. Flip. But, oh, my God, dude. So that helped tremendously as well. But wouldn't have mattered, man. Dylan Cease was on his game last night, as was the bullpen. And boys take care of business.
So Friday night, Padres win 5-0. Then Saturday, Joe Musgrove takes the mound. And remember, in his previous start, Joe had gone 10 up, 10 down against these same Giants, who then figured something out and tackled him, essentially, for 6 runs in like 5 minutes in what was one of the crazier innings of the season, and handing Joe that loss last week. So, you know, what changed? You know, Joe was very sharp, 6 innings, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts. And he said, we're a little more careful with the first pitch. You know, they attacked early on Joe in that inning, and he said, we weren't just getting, you know, Get him over fastballs. We were going to be a little more careful with the fastball, mix in a little more breaking balls, a little more unpredictable. I know a lot of people thought maybe the Giants picked up a tell on Joe's pitches, that he was tipping his pitches perhaps that inning. There's no evidence that is true or not true necessarily in that game, but whatever it was, Joe straightened it out in the start on Saturday.
But it's like these guys are so good and so locked in. When guys hit 6 barrels in a row after you've gone 10 up and 10 down, I'm firmly in the camp of, yeah, I must have been tipping. So they picked something up because there it just doesn't make any sense at all. Again, Benny, if that's the first inning, okay, I didn't have it today. 10 up, 10 down. He was just pounding the zone. And then the next thing you know, it's just barrel. I look at that and I go, all right, yeah, they picked up on something. Any little thing that they could find. And they did. And whatever it was, he certainly got rid of that for Saturday night.
It was also a very sloppy game for the San Francisco Giants, starting with the Elliot Ramos error in the first inning on the Manny Machado double that scored a run. Bob Melvin was talking about it after the game, seemed very frustrated and upset with his team, something you never see from Mike Schilt. Obviously, two different styles. And it's funny because as fans, we felt satisfied. You know, when Bob Melvin called out some bad play and he goes, hey, these guys aren't, you know, they're not getting the job done. This is not major league level play. We've kind of wanted that from Mike Schilt, but he doesn't do it.
Well,
and
the funny
guess
thing
what?
Is,
guess whose team is having the better results on the field?
You know, man, we did want that from the skipper earlier in the season.
We did.
And we banged our heads against the wall. And I know he got mad at me for asking. Just like, what would you change if you could? Are you on drugs? You know, like, I'm like, what? I mean, we're watching the same games here. But I'll tell you, whatever he figured out about this team that he manages, Ben, it's worked. It's worked to this point. You know, maybe he realized, now they actually respond better. If I, you know, and again, we have zero idea what goes on behind closed doors. If he's going up to somebody's locker and saying, hey, get your head out of your rear end. Don't make that play again. Let's not repeat that mistake. That's one thing. But again, he just will not do it publicly. And I think now to this point, I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm not going to hear it. So quit asking for it because it's not going to happen. And so far, so good. 20 games above 500 right now.
No, there's no need for it right now, which is nice. I thought that game in particular, you saw the willingness of Xander Bogaerts to move over to short pay off. And offensively, you know, Xander not only hit a home run, but Donovan Solano in the lineup had 4 hits that night, including
Elite.
3 doubles that helped the Padres pull away. Jurickson showing signs of breaking out of his slump. He had 3 walks. I know, you know, it's like, hey, he's not necessarily hitting with the authority he was earlier in the season, but
could
he's getting
be worse,
on base.
Man.
You know, that's getting on base 4 times, 1 for 2 with 3 walks, had an 8-game hitting streak. I don't know, did he extend it yesterday? Did he even get in yesterday? Yeah, he did. He started yesterday.
Profar?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
8-game hitting streak come to an end yesterday.
Oh, did it?
I think it might have. Jackson Merrill, 2-run double, you know, in his first spot, his 5th hitter in the order that came on Saturday night. 3 hits for Fernando. It was just a good all around, up and down the lineup, a lot of production from the order sort of game.
Saturday.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, nice job by Adrian Morejon and Alec Jacob to give the rest of the bullpen a night off by picking up those final 3 innings, including 2 from Jacob. Just quietly set up the bullpen for what turned out to be a game where they needed him, a 10-inning game, a game you used all of your high-at-leverage relievers at the end of the game on Sunday. You can't necessarily do that without Alec Jacob on Saturday, and Mike Schilt did point that out after the game yesterday, that, hey, part of this win, give credit to Alec Jacob for a couple of scoreless innings and helping us hold that lead and get us to the finish line on Saturday.
Yeah, got to have those, man. They banged out 17 hits on Saturday night, Benny. And you know, like you said, everybody really contributed that night. It was pretty special. Nice to see Lockridge make his debut Saturday.
Major league debut.
Debut Saturday, pinch run, steals the bag on the first pitch in the big leagues. Pretty cool moment for him. But yeah, man, everyone was hitting that night. Crony had a rough night, 0 for 5. He did get one hit in the series. But I'll tell you this about Crony. He made a play on Friday night, diving, you know, to his right, ridiculous. He was making game-saving plays all weekend. You know, if you feel that you're a black hole in the lineup, if you feel like I'm just not seeing it, he barreled a couple balls, but if it's just not working for you, you can't take it into the field. You've got to make plays, and he made a ton of plays this weekend to help the Padres make sure they didn't lose any of those games. So credit where credit's due on the defensive side of the ball. He was spectacular.
I'm glad you brought up Lockridge, because that is one of those playoff forward-looking moves that the Padres are at least testing out here.
100%.
At the end of the season. A guy who stole over 40 bases in the minor leagues this year.
He was like 46 out of 52, and one for one in the big leagues, yeah.
You need that speed off the bench in the postseason. Now, they've had Tyler Wade and Bryce Johnson at times this year. Lockridge is not going to provide any offense, but you're not expecting him to take any at-bats in the playoffs. You wouldn't expect Tyler Wade. You wouldn't expect Bryce Johnson to take any at-bats in the playoffs. They would be out there for defense and speed, but you don't have three of those guys. So how are you going to best maximize your playoff roster? And what the Padres are doing at AAA right now is kind of interesting. They have been working Eggy Rosario at shortstop at El Paso, because Eggy, remember, has continued to mash against left-handers in the minor leagues. He did it in the big leagues early in the season. And there's a chance we may see Eggy back on the playoff roster, and possibly as someone who can fill in with, if Ha-Sung Kim remains hurt, he may be like your backup shortstop and a right-handed bat off the bench against lefties that they could use in the postseason that might be more valuable than what they have now as the complete team.
Yeah, what you could do if you had to in a playoff game, Benny, you probably wouldn't pinch hit him for Bogarts, but you would pinch hit him for Cronenworth and then slide Xander back to second for
exactly
an inning
you
and
Eggie
at short. Makes me nervous as hell to think about Eggie Rosario playing shortstop. But, I mean, again, if it's a bat, if he comes up in his pinch hit appearance and hits a two-run home run and gives you a four-run lead, you don't really care.
And, again, I don't know if the Padres are committed to that, but they want to make sure that, you know, their options are open given the health. They're pretty, I mean, shortstop is now a very thin position. Well, Ha-Sung Kim is out. If something happened to Xander, now what would you do if something happened to Xander, you know, tomorrow? No, God forbid,
right.
Obviously, you know, you hope no one gets hurt at this point in the season, but you have to be prepared for someone to go down. And now you're at the point where, all right, is it Jake? Is it Tatis? Is it Merrill? Or could it be Eggy as the next guy up at shortstop if someone got hurt?
It's not going to be Tatis, and it's not going to be Merrill.
I don't think so.
I would bet the farm.
So
on that,
you're preparing for all eventualities. You don't want the season to come down and you be not ready for anything that might happen in October. And I think this is part of that forward thinking that the Padres are doing with 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I like that they're, you know, again, we talked about big boy moves for this team. And I thought sending Camposano down was a big boy move. And we asked Schilt about it. And he said, yeah, you know, there's a scenario. We probably could have kept three catchers on the rosters. They all have different skill sets, but he just wasn't getting the work that we needed him to get in. So he's going to be down there. So I don't know. I mean, they're working out their options down there, Ben, to make this playoff roster as robust as it can be.
All right, we'll come back. 8 o'clock hour. We'll include a visit from in-season Sammy Levitt. Paulie celebrated a birthday over the weekend. And Woods, you, I was very surprised at what you did when I was on my trip.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.